decisions.
Professor, and if you stay with us, if you don't mind, I want to go to Eilis Mulroy, indeed, who is of the pro-life campaign in Galway and has joined us on many occasions. Eilis, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you? Great to be on the programme.
Nice to talk to you again. What's your read on what's happening?
Well, I was very interested to hear your last contributor suggest that the leak of a Supreme Court case prior to it being, finally resolved.
Well, I asked that question, justified.
I mean, I think many people would be extremely concerned about it. As Chief Justice Roberts has said, there's likely to be a criminal investigation into that. I suppose you would be concerned that this could be a politicised move to, put pressure on the justices, because usually in a Supreme Court case, what happens is they have, they swap written, drafts, they meet an oral session, and they finally then come up with the decision which is released. That's what's happened at the Supreme Court. It's entirely unprecedented that there'd be a leak, and it's a very, very serious leak. So I think that that's very important that would be addressed very quickly. I suppose that it's no surprise in many ways that, you have a kind of a reset in the United States. As you know, this decision, if this decision is overturned, if the draft holds and the decision is overturned, what it does really is extend the creation of laws around abortion to the individual states. So it's not going to ban abortion, it's going to send it to the individual states. And different states then will take different, they all have their state legislature, and they will take their decisions on what kind of laws they will introduce. But if you think about it, after almost 50 years of abortion in the United States, it's only right that we should kind of listen with interest to the many people who've changed their minds. It's only right that there will be a reset. We've had up to, I think, 60 million abortions in the United States. I think that would never have been anticipated. You might remember, Keith, some years ago in university in Galway, Norma McCorvey, who was the plaintiff in Roe versus Wade, was over. She might have actually been on your programme at the time. And she spent the latter part of her years campaigning
against abortion.
She regretted her part in the Roe versus Wade decision. But I mean, I think obviously it'd be very welcome and will influence the debate here. And I think, we should look at that, because we have our 3-year review of the abortion law at the moment happening. We know that we've had massive numbers of abortions since the law was introduced. In just the first 2 years of the abortion law, we've had over 13,000 abortions. So let's not kind of wait for 50 years before we address that. And let's just put more in place to support women who are in unplanned pregnancy and protect unborn children.
But should I go back to the statement that I made at the beginning? And again, it was a landmark decision in 1973 of the US Supreme Court, in which the court ruled that the Constitution of the United States protects a pregnant woman's liberty to choose to have an abortion without excessive government restrictions. So it was giving ownership, indeed, of to the woman in question. And that's now what's in question here. And that's what's concerning.
Yeah, I suppose what they did was they interpreted the 14th Amendment to the right to privacy to include that. But, I mean, decisions change. And the courts interpret the Constitution, and decisions can change over time. And, for example, when Roe versus Wade was introduced, we had nothing like the window to the womb that we have now. I mean, I heard abortion advocates in recent days tell the Iraqis Health Committee that they were looking for abortion up to viability on request in Ireland. And we know that, just 21 days, the baby's heart is beating. We have these 4D ultrasound pictures. And the window to the womb, babies can survive from as early as 21 weeks. None of that science was there at that time. So, you're talking about a woman's right to choose, but we're also talking about unborn women and men and, their rights to live too. So, I mean, at the end of the day, as things progress, as science evolves, as we get new information, it's only right that we should take that into account and make our decisions accordingly and in accordance with the science and in accordance with basic human rights. I mean, the right to life is the most fundamental human right. So, I think this, if this decision holds, it's very, very welcome. And as I said, it doesn't mean abortion suddenly stops in the United States. It just means that it's no longer a federal issue. It becomes a state issue. So in a state where the majority of the legislature is in favour of protecting the right to life, they can now bring in new laws that protect the right to life of unborn children in their state. So it gives them the ability to abolish it, but it doesn't mean they will.
Eilish Mulroy, stay with me if you don't mind. I want to go to Jennifer Carl McNeill, a solicitor and barrister indeed based in Dublin, but also the Fine Gael TD for Dunleary, who joins you on the line. Deputy, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us today. Again, I ask the same question. I'm trying to be balanced in all of this. What's your take on what's coming out of the USA and what Eilish has said there?
I think, you know, this right for a woman to determine her own body came from the privacy rights within the Constitution as interpreted by the Supreme Court. And other things that came from that were marriage equality for gay people, interracial marriage, a whole range of things that have now been in place, you know, abortion in place as for 50 years. These are, you know, strong mores, they're strong accesses to rights. And what the Supreme Court did and what it's supposed to do is protect the individual over, you know, the majority. What they've done here now is taken a decision that's very much at variance with the majority view. I mean, polling around the right to have an abortion, to have a termination if needed, is about 62% consistently in the US. And that's when there wasn't a sort of a threat to it, really, in the way that there has been. So it has been, you know, it is an enormously political decision by the Supreme Court to take away what has become an established right for those women who need it and the people whom it's going to impact. If the states whom we think will impact will make changes to the laws in the way that it looks like, will be overwhelmingly women who don't have access to funds, women who are more disadvantaged socioeconomically, who may not be able to afford to travel to other states to choose to end a pregnancy if that's what they choose to do. Because, of course, you know, the countervariance to the right to life, as Eilish has expressed, is, you know, requiring or forcing a woman who doesn't wish to be pregnant to remain pregnant. And that's the place where I have great difficulty with it. So it's a very significant political decision. I mean, what I think Chief Justice John Roberts is worried about is not just the leak, but the threat to the institution generally from taking such a huge political decision that takes away something that has been there for such a significant part of the lifetime of the United States. To say that the Constitution doesn't hold this right to privacy in the way that we thought it did, and what that has meant for a whole range of other people, a whole range of other rights, is a really very significant political thing to do. Of course, in Ireland, we had a different situation. People made the decision by referendum to provide for reproductive health care, to provide for a woman's right to choose. That's a very different source of law, and it's a much stronger source of law, as we know. But this is a massively political thing for the US Supreme Court to have done.
And I see President Joe Biden...
If that's the way it pans out. But I don't see how it's going to change. I don't see how it's going to change, because which of those justices is going to change their view now? What would happen to them if they're seen to switch a view in either way? I mean, and actually a lot of this was flagged by Sonia Sotomayor during the oral hearing. She was saying, look, there's a huge threat to the legitimacy of the institution here. If we go down this road, if we take this decision based on sort of how, you know, at variance it is with the express will of the majority, as we see poll after poll after poll, if we see how, you know, it has been in place for all of this period, to take steps back beyond that at this stage would damage the legitimacy of the court. And that's her view. And I think that's where the risk for John Roberts as well.
You can send in your comments, by the way, 53995 or WhatsApp is to 0870-958-968. Jennifer, I know you're under pressure of time as well, but I mean, President Joe Biden has reacted to the leaked draft indeed from the Supreme Court, and that would reverse the Roe versus Wade decision by calling on elected officials around the United States to protect women's rights to abortion. He goes on to say, I believe that a woman's right to choose is fundamental, and Roe has been the law of the land for almost 50 years, and basic fairness and the stability of our law demand that it not be overturned. Now, for the president to come out with that, that's a very strong statement coming from him.
Yes, it is a very strong statement. And I think, you know, it shows quite how big a political decision this is. This would be by the Supreme Court if this comes true, which I imagine it will. I mean, obviously, there's an opportunity for the federal system to create this right, as it were, but I don't think they have the numbers. So you're going back to each legislature. But what I'm saying is...
Is this about politics, or is this about... This is politics. This is not about the choice.
I believe that this decision is a political decision by the Supreme Court. It is a more politicised system, and the reaction is clearly political. I mean, to come out against a decision that has, you know, in the way that, that legislators have, the reaction, you know, it's as though it has already happened. And I believe it will. I don't understand how the judges are going to change their position. Yes, they circulate decisions. Yes, they typically change their minds on, or they can change their minds on other decisions that they've drafted, circulated and so on. But I don't think that that will happen on this one. And I can understand how Joe Biden came out in that way. If you look at the number of states where this is likely to be banned or so severely restricted, it's potentially between 12 and 20 states. And let's say some of them are together. If you're a woman in real difficulty, particularly socioeconomic difficulty, and you need or you believe you need to access an abortion service and you simply don't have the money, it is going to impact those women who are already more disadvantaged than other women. That's going to be the effect of this. And it's going to, apart from it being a polarizing political decision, it has significant consequences for women who are already disadvantaged, more consequences for them than anyone else.
Jennifer Karen McNeill, solicitor, barrister and Fine Gael TD for Dunleary. I'll let you back to the desk and thank you for joining us. Eilidh, how do you respond to something like that?
Well, look, there's a couple of things I want to respond to there, Keith. First of all, Deputy McNeill talked about, you know, inclusivity and equality. The reality is that if you're a woman of colour in the United States, you're five times more likely to have an abortion. And I think, you know, abortion discriminates against ethnic minority, and I think we should be doing our utmost to support people in those situations, support people, bring them, help them along so that they don't feel that abortion is their only option. And also,
well, if they wanted, the choice is there. So this is politics versus choice. Yes, no.
At the end of the day, Keith, you know, the recent BBC poll, just in the last month, which found that it was a Savanta poll for BBC, that 15% of women in the UK who were between the ages of 18 and 44 said that they had experienced pressure to go through an abortion that they didn't want to have. So coercion exists. And you know, that's the reality. And we just have to... The problem we have is, I suppose, because it's so polarised...
Coercion from who, Eilidh, can I ask you?
We're not... Well, it's always the case, you know, it's the same in every country. You know, from partners, from family members, people who, you know, just not getting the support they need. And we know actually that the My Options helpline, which is a government-funded helpline here in Ireland, that people ring when they're in an unplanned pregnancy, is only really diverting people in one way as well. And they're not giving information to women on positive alternatives. And this is not something that the Irish people voted for, Keith, because the recent Amorid research that we commissioned before Christmas, in October, November of last year, told us that 89% of people in Ireland, no matter what your view on the substantive issues, no matter whether you voted yes or no in 2018, believe that women should have the right to all of the information when they're in an unplanned pregnancy. And that's not happening at the moment. So I don't think we can take, you know, one issue in isolation without looking at the full picture. And that's why the 3-year review of the abortion law, which is happening at the moment, is so important. And we absolutely have to be willing to take an honest look at the law, look at where things have gone so badly wrong. I mean, obviously, I'm coming from a pro-life position. I want to see women supported and unborn babies protected. But in the context of the 3-year review, that was mandated by the legislation in 2018 that the minister had to convene a review, take a look at what, you know, how the law is operating. And there are so many problems with the law, not least the massive numbers that we were assured wouldn't happen, that voters relied on when Minister Leo Varadkar launched the abortion referendum campaign in early 2018. He said abortions would be safe, legal and rare. Okay. Over 13,000 abortions in the first 2 years of the operation of the Act is certainly not rare. And this opportunity of the 3-year review must be taken by our politicians. And I want to pay tribute to many politicians, including Bowie politicians, who stand up for life and stand up for supporting mothers. Okay. And protecting unborn life. And I'd like to see many more politicians follow suit and take this opportunity to take a hard look at the abortion law and to try and bring some justice back to the law.
Eilidh Mulroy, thank you for joining us. Finally, I'm going to go back to who I started with, Professor Anna Arstein-Kerslake, and joins me from the